Okay, Nick, so before the podcast starts, I just want us to have positive vibes.
Positive vibes.
Positive vibes.
Hashtag only positive vibes today.
Just positive like vibes. So if you're listening, guys, let's just take three deep breaths in. Just go one and release. And in and release. And last one, in and release. How much better does that feel? Yo, breathing?
I feel so good.
Don't breathe?
I feel so... You know about that breathing life?
Yeah. You guys actually need to get on breathing. Like, like in your spare time, get your breath.
Get your breathing on. You guys are sleeping on breathing. It is...
literally sleep on breathing though. No, it's a raw thing. There's a guy who literally wrote a whole book on just breathing.
Really?
It's called the Wim Hof Method. Yeah, you know, we spoke about it earlier. Like, yeah. If you guys listen to recent pods, we speak about how I take cold showers only now.
Yes.
That's because of breathing. Yeah. So don't, guys, get your breathing on.
Breathing
is though, one of those few things that, like, if I'm by myself, it will scare me sometimes.
Okay.
Because, you know, like, it's something that happens unconsciously.
Hmm.
But then when you get conscious of it, it can kind of scare you a bit.
It's the worst thing. Like now.
Because you're like, wait, I'm breathing. And like, wait, what if I forget?
The thing is, I forget how to breathe. When I think, oh, I'm breathing, I'll go, I screw up my rhythm. Okay. It's like a really old thing. It's like definitely a thing.
Yeah. No, breathing raw scares me, bro. I wanted us to do that breathing exercise just so we release some positive vibes. We're almost like affirming it. Like, no, positive vibes here only. Do it.
I love that.
The pedestal.
The pedestal.
The pedestal.
Just even while we're spitting.
Someone's wearing Patagonia. You wear Patagonia?
Fucking care about the environment.
Fucking tree hugger.
Yeah. What? I'm just trying to do my bit.
What? Why?
So are you telling me you're those fast fashion people?
Oh, 100%.
You're in Cotton On, H&M, Cotton On, Zara.
Oh, bro, Top Man. I go in there and I buy a suit for like £12 and then I just throw it away after I wear it. I just chuck it. And then like I kick it into a seagull. that's what I try to do.
Gross.
Yeah, that's gross. I do that.
So you're those people who shop at Cotton On, but then we'll come with a reusable cup to the coffee shop.
Yes, exactly.
You guys are gross.
Yeah, 100%. That's gross, bro. I do it all the time. I'll take my t-shirt that's been made of polyester that I bought for like 75 cents and then just stuff it into a turtle's mouth after use. That's what I tend to do.
Jesus.
Yeah, I have to do it otherwise.
And that comment will not age well. I just want to let you know that.
I just think we still understand that turtles are a bad force in the world and they all need to go. Mass produce straws.
Wait, what? Why do you hate turtles?
And just throw the turtles.
People love
throw
turtles.
The straws.
Turtles is like a universal, like we all love this thing.
If all the turtles died.
I fought a turtle. Like, what? Do you want me to, if I play a clip of a baby turtle trying to, like, you know, and they're trying to come out coming out that bush in the beach.
Trying
to make it into the ocean. People cry at that thing.
Yeah. So when that happens, when I see that on like David Attenborough's shows, I root for the seagulls. I root for the seagulls.
Then they come
like,
pick them up.
Oh, good boy. Like they'll grab one and I'll be like, yes, team seagull all the way.
Okay. So you're a sociopath. That's the actual.
No, I just hate turtles. We all have things we just dislike. Turtles.
No,
are my
but you
thing.
Have to just, how can you just hate a turtle?
A turtle? I mean,
like, come on, Teenage Mutant? Come on, dude. No ways. Turtles are like too beloved.
Dude, they're slow.
What happened? Did someone call you a turtle? What happened?
Someone called you a turtle, as far as I remember. Go back in high school.
Wait, was I called a turtle? They used to call me Teenage Mutant. But that was very racist because I used to say that because I had a flat nose.
Dude, so racist. I don't know.
It's because I gymmed and I had a flat nose.
I see. So that you had
that. That's as far as I went.
Because I remember people calling you that, and I never understood it. It was like, I thought it was like your other group of mates who called you Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. And I was like, I just didn't understand the joke.
Was I called Turtle? No, it was Teenage Mutant.
I think so.
I think it was one of those jokes where like, it was meant to hurt me way more than it actually did.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm not that ugly.
Yeah, how could it be called? No, not ugly at all. Very good looking guy. Why would you be actually called?
Like I ride for Teenage Mutant. I was like, oh, this is a flex. Thank you.
It's like the best tune ever. Like if someone said like, oh, Nick, you look like Vegeta. I'll be like, yeah, okay, cool.
Okay, but do not compare Vegeta to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Are you kidding me?
Okay, I mean,
Vegeta is a fucking heir to this like Saiyan legacy.
Yeah.
Come on, bro. It
was low-key my favorite character. But that's what I'm saying. It's like they're cool characters. So if you're trying to make fun of someone and you call them a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, you're not really making fun of them. You give them the cool nickname. That's what
And plus, high school is just that thing where like if enough people said something, it didn't really matter what it was, and enough people laughed straight afterwards, it was offensive.
It hurt.
Like I remember one time I had a friend, won't say his name, you know, skinny guy, he was in our same house as us. I remember I just walked up to him and I was just like, I think I even said to you or someone, I was like, dude, anything you say to someone is offensive. So I was like, I gathered like four or five of us and I was like, yo, fucking curtain, bro. You're fucking curtain. And everyone just laughed. And he literally was ready to fight me.
He was like so angry.
Didn't mean anything at all.
Because I suppose his brain must have been like, why is he calling me a curtain? Is it because I blow in the wind?
No, it wasn't even that. It was the first thing.
I cover windows. I don't know. What's offensive about being called a curtain? I don't understand.
Yeah. It's literally just a noun. That's all it is.
Is that you fucking tennis ball? What? What? Why?
Yeah. And if enough people laugh, then it's we fight it.
Then it's a fight.
It just kind of shows how like aggressive school was for us. It
really was. School. Yeah.
Survival of the fittest.
I think I'm not sure if I want to bring it up now, but I did want to talk about toxic masculinity at some stage, because I think it's something that needs to be spoken about. And especially at high school, with like you live in only boys boarding school, where, I mean, what did we learn at that school, at like in that environment that we still carry in our minds today that we didn't even realize?
Like it's feeding the school, actually, like feeding, you know, and I love school. I love my school experience. Other than academically, I learned fuck all. But I don't know whose fault that is. I might need, you know, to raise a credit invoice.
No, you might have to.
At some point.
But no, of course. And I loved school as well. I loved going to boarding school. I thought it was like the most fun. And I did both, you know what I mean? And I way preferred only boys boarding school.
But it did fuck us up. Yeah,
I'm sure it did fuck us up in some way.
No, I'm like still fucked up to this day.
I'm sure. So am I. I know I am.
Yeah. Like 100%. Things that happen in my daily life, in my relationship that like, oh, that's St. Albans. Oh, St. Albans got me there.
Oh, it's a bit of toxic masculinity. Oh, that's my toxic masculinity acting up. My bad.
Yeah. Like I still have a weirder one is like, I don't understand like guys who dresses up as girls for a laugh.
What do you mean? For a laugh.
Like just when you're drunk and you dress up like, you know, you're going to the girls' cupboards and you dress up like girls.
Yeah.
Like for a laugh, I just find that like, I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing?
Like maybe because in your mind, you have to be uber masculine all the time. So even acting feminine is like a betrayal to your masculinity.
Yeah. Or like a sign of weakness or, but it doesn't actually mean anything.
Yeah. It's just like an ingrained psychological thought that you have.
Yeah, because guys just having a laugh, having a good time, but I just still get like, not that I judge my mates because I love them, but I'm still just like, oh, I would never do that. Oh, no, don't even get that near me.
No, sure.
That's a damaging one. That's probably a more explicit version.
Yeah.
Not all the parties I go to, people get drunk and dress like women.
But it happens.
That's the one I can think of right now, yeah.
But I mean, for a big one for me was, I remember when I was back at St. Albans and I was like I'll try to make the story really short. I was in the boarding house, like alone. Everyone was out doing stuff. It's a Friday afternoon. And I'm not going to mention his name, but he's the worst person I've ever come across in my whole life. And he walked into my room and he goes, Nick, what are you doing?
Say his name so we can bleep him out. Oh, a real one.
Yeah. The worst person I've ever come across in my whole life. Anyway.
Penny's hell nice though. Penny's a gent now. Penny, yeah, he's in London. You should hit him up. Have a coffee.
I heard he's a cocaine addict. Well, that's maybe the story that I created in my head because I just want him to be.
That would be the ideal situation. No, Penny's a hell like wholesome dude.
Oh, really? I hope he does.
Spiritual and shit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sure. What's all that guilt? But he
crack a person's ribs. No, he broke him. Oh, he broke ribs.
He broke, anyway, coccyx point. Yeah. So anyways, he walked into my room and then he said, like, what are you doing tonight? And I said, oh, no, I'm just chilling in the boarding house tonight. And he's like,
when I was in that room.
No, different time. I remember that time. Oh, there was another time with him. Oh, I remember he was so bad. Because you walked in and then...
It was him, but we'll bleep out the names. We'll have to go back.
Yeah.
Do you remember what happened? Yeah, you go.
Okay, yeah. So let me just... So he walked in. I'll make the story short because it's a long story, but I'll make it short. So he walks into my room and then he goes, what are you doing tonight? Whatever. And then I said, what are you doing tonight? And he goes, oh, I'm going to the only girls... I'm going to the social down the road at this girl's school. And I said, oh, you're going to play Hunt the Grunt, like LOL. Another example of toxic masculinity. Ooh, and then...
Fucking toxic masculinity.
Yeah, oh, 100%. I was 15. What the fuck was that? I don't know. And he said, oh, he called my girlfriend a grunt. And I was like, no. No. And then he said, but you know what? You haven't been fucked up in a long time. And he
That's just the life we lived, eh?
It was every once in a while, someone would say, you haven't been fucked up in a long time. Let me.
You're like, yeah.
Yeah.
I probably should get fucked up.
It's like the same thing like cutting your nails. Oh, I haven't cut my nails in a while. First you cut those or get a haircut. Yeah, you haven't been fucked up. Okay. So he grabbed me like under my arm and over my neck and then held me and punched me in the kidneys for like 15 times and then let go and then walked out the room and then would come back and he said, oh, you thought I was done? And then do the same thing. And he did this and he'd leave and then come back again. And he did this seven times. He did this seven times over. And by the last one, I was like holding in the tears, right? And he's just punching me in the kidneys. And I'm like trying to hold in the tears and I'm like keeping the tears. And then he goes, okay, I'm done. Then he leaves and he leaves for good. And then he comes back a week later with a hockey stick, which is the night that he broke our friend's coccyx bones. And said, oh, let's fuck up McGregor. And stopped him and said, I know, I don't like beating up McGregor. He doesn't cry, which is so fucked.
And that's so fucked.
It's so fucked.
My God.
And then the reason I tell the story is because later on in life, I was playing with my brother in the park and we're like tackling each other, playing rugby. And then I tackled him and I hurt him, right? And then now he starts crying. So I'm like, so I pick him up and I'm carrying him to my dad. And I say, he's crying. I'm like, hey, don't cry. Don't cry. McGregor men don't cry.
Oh, shit.
And as I said that, I was like, that's that toxic masculinity bullshit that had been imprinted in my mind. And I was like, man, that's heavy.
Fuck.
That's an old Scottish thing.
That's so deep. Although crying is run out of thing.
Not a thing?
It's run, I think. Oh, I mean, I'm a closer guy who went to the bush, so you can imagine.
Not allowed to cry. When's the last time you cried?
You can imagine the environments I was in where I wasn't allowed to cry. Just let your imagination run wild. If you listen to something from South Africa and you know people who went to the bush, just think of the positions I could have been in where a cry was very warranted and I was just like, nah, stop.
Not allowed to cry right now.
Yeah. So the way I cry now is I basically hold everything in, as most men. And then if I'm alone sometimes, I'll have a wine or something and I'll watch a really sad movie that like I know is sad.
You make yourself cry?
No, so I will go, hey, I haven't cried in like 6 months. So I'll watch a really sad movie and I'll just get all the cries out and I'll cry fucking hard.
Really? And yeah, dude, is that like a release?
Oh, it's such a release. So therapeutic. You just build everything and then just, so as you cry about that, you think of all the things you could have and should have cried about and you just go ham.
That sounds
so
like
therapeutic.
That does sound like therapy. That does sound like therapy.
It's so good. It's just so good to like feel that emotion for what it is and just express it in its purest form. I don't know where I came up with that though. I think I read a book that like gave that tip.
It said that you should cry.
Yeah. Like crying is healthy.
Apparently it's healthy.
Yeah. Especially when you're not holding back. You just let it rip. You just let it fly. You're like, I'm just going to like snort. And you're like, and you just start saying things to yourself. Like, I did my best. I did my best. Like you just let it all in.
And you just like,
just
you
let it all out. Sorry.
You just start actually talking to yourself as well. Does that actually happen? That sounds good. What movie would you watch that?
Riding in cars with boys. That one always gets me.
Oh, really? I've never seen that, actually.
Oh, that's... Oof. Tears. Lion King, just the Mufasa scene. Just a quick one, if you need to cry.
That'll take you out. That's done.
Yeah. Quick cry.
Yeah.
But you got to go through the whole movie and then cry up until Timon and Pumbaa find him.
Yes.
Like, that's how long you cry for.
But that's like a good... You have to walk through all the savannah and stuff. That's a good 7 minutes of crying. There's a lot of crying can be done in that period, I think.
Yeah.
You might
squeeze out a cry when he has to deal with the fact that his dad's dead again.
And yes.
When he sees him, like, Dad, come back.
Move it, Dad. Simba.
Yeah. You can get a quick one in there as well. That's a good one. I'm trying to think. Notebook, you can.
You know what?
I don't really cry.
I can cry pretty easily if I allow myself to. And I could not, the Notebook for me was nothing. I can watch Moana and cry like a baby.
Oh, Moana's another one as well.
Yeah. I cried.
Lilo and Stitch. Yeah. Did I cry in Lilo and Stitch?
Ooh, definitely.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I can cry.
Get it out. Oh, and the start of Up. Ooh.
Ooh.
That one's a banger.
I might cry right now just thinking about it, honestly.
That's a banger.
Dare they make that movie for kids? What? We watch them grow old together and then she dies. What the fuck? That was just hectic. Quick.
That's a nice cry. So yeah, there's plenty of them.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can even go on Netflix and just say sad. You can just get your cry.
Is that a category?
You know how this works. It's all algorithms. Big data. They know. They tag. They just put tags.
Yeah.
These guys just check tags on all this stuff. Yeah.
That's true.
Guys, get your cry on. Get your cry on. It's particularly if you don't cry a lot. And if you haven't cried in a while, I definitely recommend like by yourself. Don't just watch a Netflix movie that makes you feel good, but just get the cries out.
Yeah. It's a good idea, actually. That's good. I think that is good. It's a good idea.
We almost didn't record the podcast because Nick's been hella busy with work.
Yeah. So have you. You've also been pretty
hella busy.
Hella busy
with family.
Yeah.
And you're preparing to leave again. So as our COVID correspondent, can you give us a quick 2 minutes on your COVID update?
And today with the COVID report, we are live with Nicholas McGregor. Nicholas McGregor, how are you doing? Yes. So we are now currently in London. We are under lockdown, very strict lockdown. No sight of lockdown ending at this stage. They say maybe March, but it's Boris Johnson in charge. No one has a fucking clue when this thing will end. So cases are on the decrease in London, but still no chances of a lockdown ending. But vaccines are on the up, which is fantastic. I myself will be traveling from London to Greece on tomorrow. It's actually tomorrow I travel, which is a Saturday for those who are listening next week. And
what's that process?
So the process is, Kanye, you just got to get out there and get your PCR test, which is cool. It costs you $5,000 or somewhere around there, but had to get it done. Then get on the plane, fill in my locator form and fly off to Thessaloniki tomorrow. Yeah, it's all good. All good out here, giving it 100% trying to get back to Greece.
Anything you're expecting when you get to Greece?
You know, we're expecting better weather in Greece, but you know, there's still lockdown. There's high hopes of a haircut, which is good. It's been missing from lockdown for a good few months. So we're hoping we can achieve that when we get to Greece. Thanks so much.
Beautiful.
God bless. Cool. Yes. Yeah. that was the COVID report. Well, the lockdown report with Nicholas McGregor. How much was that?
Beautiful.
Dude, how many?
You had 18 seconds to spare.
18 seconds to spare? That was a lot of information as well. I think.
Yeah you got that all out. That we might keep that till they get the vaccines going. I like that. Just 2 minutes, bang.
Lockdown report. Bah. Yeah. No, I'm here for it. I think it'd be cool. Make that a new feature.
Now, do we want to talk about the stock market and stuff? Do we want to get into that?
I don't know. Unless you can give us something that we don't know. Because what I realized about this whole GameStop thing is, and I don't want to stick with current issues every week, but because it's quite a fascinating thing, what I realize is because there were so many explainers of what's going on, every meme page was just giving explainers as to what is happening. I realized I'm not the only person in the world that doesn't have a fucking clue how the stock market works. So could you just give us an idea of what is a stock market? What is a share? What is shorting a stock? And then maybe use the example of GameStop to just tell everyone.
No, so I see where you're going with this, and I'm actually going to say no.
You're going to say no. Can you not do that?
Do you know why?
Why?
Because there's just too many people that will give you that information. When you come to Nick and Kanye, we're trying to read between the lines.
Okay, give us what's between those things.
So the between the lines thing is the thing you mentioned first, which is the fascination of how quick content can be produced.
Yes.
To cover this thing. I just find that so fascinating. Like the memes?
Dude.
The memes that were coming out?
Unbelievable.
Dude, I was listening on Clubhouse. Shout out Clubhouse.
Yeah.
I was in Clubhouse and they were talking about like how hedge funds and investment funds will now need to have a meme officer. Like just to watch like what stocks memes. Are the guys who make memes and on the internet are looking for.
That's like, so interesting.
Yeah. And you know,
that's fascinating.
You can call it investing relations. Mm. Investing relations officer.
100%.
But it's just fascinating that like, oh, like this is a space that now needs to be respected. Like you can't play with these guys.
It's, and they make amazing, they make incredible memes. Obviously Reddit is now a force that people have to worry about. And in terms of the quality of memes, as a meme connoisseur myself, a meme lord, you might say, yes, I'm really good. So when it came to when Trump was ousted, the memes were just unbelievable. The Capitol, the storming of the Capitol, unbelievable memes. Inauguration of Biden kind of dropped down a bit, wasn't as good in terms of the amount of memes being produced.
Yeah,
and
but Bernie saved
clarity. Yeah, no, you know what? Bernie came in the clutch. He did. You're right, 100%. He came there with a 3-pointer in the with the buzzer beater. That was amazing. But with the GameStop thing, the memes were incredible and everywhere.
Yeah, they were just so
they were, like they were really, really good.
The intelligence, the creativity, that what I thought that was the biggest story, to be honest. Like how the financial market works and short squeezes and call options and margin calls, that stuff's all like you can learn about it, but it's fairly easy.
Yeah.
I'm not here to teach you how that works. But a lot of people ask me why is a stock that is overly, you know, shorted and is clearly going down, why did all these guys buy it? And what people don't understand is these guys on Reddit, they are fucking thorough.
Really? Why?
I think that isn't something that's been communicated enough. Like these guys do proper due diligence. Like they will list the 10 reasons why they're going to buy the stock.
Oh, really?
And they debate that. I think that was a big thing that I read everything and everyone talks about like the short squeeze and everyone's buying, but no one actually talks about what triggered this. And the fact is, Wall Street Bets and all the, you know, there's Facebook groups, there's Instagram pages, there's now TikTokers. And the reason why these guys gain a following is because they have the ability to gain trust. And the way they gain trust is by being transparent and being thorough. Like okay. These guys will hit you with reports, hit you with proper analysis. Like that's why GameStop popped off, because enough guys agreed to sort of future fundamentals of the stock. And it also was a bit of, you know, like why, once you come to a conclusion of what this thing is worth, why is it so overshorted? Why is it overvalued? Here these hedge funds are again trying to fuck us as they did in the GFC. They're not going to pay a price. So we need to come in now. And gang up. Let's go. Let's buy this thing.
So it wasn't just a massive fuck you to the kind of hedge fund elite. It was like a really thorough thinking, no, we can make this. The stock is actually more valuable than people.
Yeah. And then it sort of became a fuck you, you know, almost similar to the Capitol riots. I don't think Oaks woke up in the morning and be like, we're going to riot the Capitol. But before they knew it, you had enough guys and then it just became a thing. And like, I'm in these Clubhouse chats and stuff and it's amazing to see just the amount of people that are just like, yes, get them. But get opinion piece on Bloomberg talking about like how this is actually the angry bubble.
Okay.
You know, just a clear inflation of an over-evaluation or inflation of an asset and how this will all come tumbling down, right? Because that's basically what history has taught us.
Sure.
You can go back all the way to tulips. You guys educate yourselves from Not Your Mama. But they call this one the angry bubble, and we don't actually know what happens in this situation. We've never seen this situation.
Really?
Where so these guys are just like, hold it. Hold the door. Hold the door. Fucking like Dogecoin, crypto is like going up by like 500%.
For
no reason.
I just have to ask. Are we in another unprecedented time in our lives, because I'm so done with unprecedented times.
No, but the thing is, you got to remember, you're in the digital age, so everything is exponential growth.
Yeah, it's a point, eh?
Yeah. But then again, this only relates to people on the internet.
Sure, which is like a lot of the world. To us,
you're probably on the internet, yeah.
Yes, more than...
But yeah, we're in unprecedented times.
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
Oh, sorry, and full disclaimer, this is not financial advice. Please consult your financial professional before making any decisions with your hard-earned money. Sure. Okay. But if I was you, buy Bitcoin.
Buy Bitcoin. But you're a Bitcoin evangelist. Is a word me and you both heard this morning.
No, but also buy gold.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Get you some gold.
Oh, is that a good idea?
For centuries. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. No, people are saying that for literally millennia.
Yeah.
For like 3,000 years, people are saying get you some gold. So that's not new. That's not new advice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Get you some gold. Get you some Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And then just buy the market. That's pretty much all you really need to do.
You sure? Okay.
And then, literally, let me tell you this. You buy, and then this is what you do. And then 10 years, you open your eyes. Sorry, if you listen to podcasts, I close my eyes for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, sorry,
and then you open your eyes, and you better hope to God you made a return.
Sure.
That is literally your best chance.
What's a good thing to do in that situation? So let's say you want to put into like S&P 500 or the index, whatever.
Yeah.
That might be the same thing, but I don't know. So same thing. Okay, fuck it. Yeah. So if you put into the S&P 500 and you want to put it out in the next 10 years, right? Because you think there's going to be like a growth of some kind. Do you look at 5 years and go, how much has my money grown? And you go, oh, it's only grown by like 7%. And then you go, okay, I'm going to actually take it out and put it somewhere else.
Yeah, so you only sell when you need to sell. So I think S&P 500 is cool, but like you can go like a Vanguard. Vanguard is sort of like the Godfather, and that will give you like Vanguard does like emerging markets, it does like US markets, international markets, gives you a whole pool, gives you complete exposure, you know what I mean? So Vanguard's your probably best bet. And then when you enter the market, let's say you have $100,000 or 100,000 rand, you don't go 100,000 rand bang. No one does that.
Okay.
Like, it's very rare. You go 100,000, okay, slow.
Yeah,
every 2 weeks, every month.
Okay.
You basically flat your risk. You flatten your risk.
I see.
So that if the market does see dicks, you can go, oh, hold it.
I'm putting back out again.
Yeah. And then it drops. You go, oh, yeah, cool. Now I'm getting in here at the bottom.
Okay. But then
that's why you always go slowly in there. Just rush in.
What if the market plummets so low that it's never been that low in its history? Do you then go everything, the house, the kids, dogs, whatever you can put in there.
The lowest it's ever been?
Yes. So like the market
by that time, the stock, you might not even be able to put money in.
People
might be at your gate. Like it might be carnage out there. It might be Germany in 1930.
Really? Is that okay?
Yeah.
So in that situation, you're thinking about how to save your life as opposed to actually putting money
in. Oh no, it could definitely crash, but like lower than it's ever been.
I mean, if it's just super low.
That's Mad Max shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not talking apocalypse. I'm talking if it's just like really low.
Just like, really low. Yeah. Well, look, it was really low when COVID first hit in April.
Where was I? Fuck.
Nice. Where were most of us? We went there because we weren't coming in slow.
Yeah, we weren't. Okay. Yeah.
And that's the point. You're meant to come in slow. And then also, like, there is, you know, never more than you can lose, particularly when you're young. Like that money needs to be able to go to zero and you'll be like, okay, well, carry on with my day.
Sure. Okay.
Because if you can't, a big thing is people don't understand this is like, if you can't invest enough money where there's no emotion, you're losing because your emotion will override you.
Okay. Now you have to explain that to me again.
So what I'm saying is like, if you've got $10,000 and you invest $5,000, and it goes down, stings. You're looking at it every day. Oh, should I sell? Should I not? You're losing.
Wolves. Okay.
You're wolves already. You're already a wolf.
Okay. Wolves that already.
You're already wolf. Yeah. That money must be able to go to zero.
And you don't care.
And you must carry on with your day.
Okay. So if you can put in like, I don't know, if you can put in like 100, I don't know, not even, let's say you can put in $20 without caring. that's how much you put in, if that's possible.
Yeah, well, I think that's possible. The easiest way to think about it is think about the percentage of your wage or your wealth.
Work
it that way.
That's a good way to do it.
And then figure out, what can you tolerate? Can I tolerate just 1%? Can I tolerate 5%? Can I tolerate 10, 20, 30, 40, 50? Like, that's how you should actually try to figure out your investing style.
Sure.
But then, of course, when you're young, you know, you should take on more risk.
Yeah.
Because there's a stock market when you're 30 or 20. And then there's a stock market when you're 60.
And that's a different stock market?
And now that's a completely different stock market to you.
Okay. Because you've got so much, hopefully you have more disposable income that you can put into the stock market.
Yeah, but what if you don't? What if you're still trying to grow your money, or not even trying to grow your money, but you'd hope at that point you're just trying to protect it, right? You're not trying to, you know, you're not trying to buy crypto at 60.
Yeah.
But then the longer you don't enter the market, the shorter that period is to like have growth.
Okay.
That's why you need to get in early, so that you can ride the waves. You have time.
Sure.
That's what people don't understand. They think, I don't want to go in. What if I lose my money? It's like, it's okay. You're young. You're meant to take chances that allow you to ride the waves. When you're 60, when you're 50, you might only be able to hold gold and term deposits.
Can't take those risks anymore.
Nah, they're going to go.
Yeah. That's fair enough.
You get like a handful. That's what they say. The average person gets about a handful of opportunities to like score big.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. Think about that.
That is.
You don't get many. You're not going to get many shots to become a millionaire. Believe it or not.
Yeah. No, sure.
So, and the thing is, one thing I'll leave you guys with before we'll finish the stock market thing is like, instead of trying to be like, I need to get rich with the stock market, think of it this way. Let me try to put in money, and enough money that forces me to become educated on the subject.
Okay.
Whatever that amount is for you.
Sure.
And then build your knowledge. And then from building your knowledge, then you'll start to build your exposure into the share market. What I mean by exposure is how much money you start allocating to it, because obviously you become more knowledgeable. Often we're just so scared because we don't know what it's
dude,
like.
Dude, that
people
is,
on Reddit.
That's such good advice.
GameStop. What do you mean? They're no different to you. They're not a hedge fund. They're not Goldman Sachs. They just have internet. That's it.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
And I like that, because I suppose it's like if you say it's like you're going to research it and you're going to know it and stuff, you're never really going to invest that much time or that much focus onto it. But if you do have just a little bit of enough money for you to really start to concentrate on that, that's enough for you to kind of get to a point where you know enough to start investing more money.
Yeah, because things are only going to get more expensive. So if you're earning the same money, you know, if you have $100 right now and that buys you whatever it buys you now, we can both agree in 10 years, that $100 probably isn't going to buy the exact same things it buys you today. Right?
Sure.
So if you're holding cash, you're basically fucking yourself. You're basically getting fucked. Not in a way that money's been taken away from you, but this money is literally, like, a prime example is South Africa. It has all its issues, of course, but like, what was the rand 10 years ago compared to what it is now?
Sure. Different story.
So essentially, if you're in SA right now, you took a pay cut. To me, you took a pay cut. You're like, no, I got to pay. No, I'm on the same salary I was. No, you're taking pay cuts.
That's
so that's why you need to. That's why the money has to go to work.
You
got to put
you
it
to
off
put
to
your,
work.
You have to put your money somewhere. It's going to grow for you. It's going to work for you.
It's got to go to work. It's got to do something.
Okay.
Governments and banks are basically forcing you to fucking put money somewhere. They're like, hey, if you leave your money here with us, we'll give you 1%. Ha ha.
Ha ha.
Like, wait, what? But it's my hard-earned. Can you give me nothing else? They're like, nah, go put that money somewhere else.
Put it under your mattress.
Yeah. Because they take your money and they go, okay, cool. So we got Nick's money. Yo, we're going to lend Nick's money to you with a credit card for 20%. Right? But we're only going to give Nick 1% for leaving it here. Huh?
Yo. So they're making so much money out of my money, out of my hard-earned money.
Bro, they're making more money off your money than you. Imagine that. How crazy is that? Of a concept.
That is so rude. And they still take bank charges. Bastards.
Bro, dude.
How very dare they?
And then you are being 90% exposed just to cash. Imagine.
Shit. Hectic.
The hypocrisy. Anyway, that was our stock update.
But that was good. That was very, very good. Yeah. That was very educational. Thank you so much for that.
Just
guys,
to start the year.
Now we know how to invest, everyone. So follow Kanye's.
For education. Again, Kanye's, once again, I will disclaimer that this is just for educational and entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional financial advisor about your own financial situation and how to invest your money. Thank you.
Kanye's being very modest. He's a fantastic investor. You can hold him to it. Don't you worry. He's unbelievable at this. So, I mean, you can.
No.
He'll put his cock on the block with this one. No, I'm kidding. But yes, yeah. Kanye is a fantastic investor. He knows who he's talking about. I wanted to ask you, I don't know how much more time we have, but I wanted to ask you, when you were a kid growing up, and I'm talking about like kid, like you were like a child, not like when you were a teenager, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Ooh, astronaut.
Did you want to be an astronaut?
Yeah, I want to be an astronaut so bad.
Were you one of those kids?
Dude, I just love space. I love Magic School Bus when they went to space. Like, that was my shit.
That was a good episode. Well,
like going to the, like, what's it called? The astrology part of the museum and stuff was just the coolest shit to me.
That just was dope. Did you have little toy astronauts and stuff and spaceships?
Dude, like I live for that. NASA. I mean, other than when I found out that it was run by Nazis in the beginning. But like other than that, before I found that out.
Have you changed your opinion on space travel since then? Thought it was run by the Nazis. You're like, oh, fuck space.
Yeah. Well, no, just when you find out that like after World War.
Nazi space.
Like, I just, you know, when you find out after World War II, the, was it the League of Nations or whatever? Just the Americans were like, well, we can't let all these, you know, these racist bigot scientists go to waste.
Yeah,
we need these guys. Come over.
Come. We're gonna invest billions into the program. We'll fund and give you lots of money.
I digress. But like space and astronauts, and that was a big one for me.
That was your go-to.
Yeah. Hey,
me.
What about you?
When I was growing up, so I think I went through multiple phases, but the main one was. And this is why I'm so smart to this day, because I mean, unbelievable that I wanted to be this when I was that young. I wanted to be an archaeologist. That's what I wanted to be, and a paleontologist. That was my goal. And that's all I wanted to be.
Archaeologist? Wait, you're talking? Mm. No, I'm thinking about anthropologist.
So I wanted to be the guy who goes and finds. So it's actually a paleontologist. That's what I'm thinking of. I wanted to go and find dinosaur bones. In deserts in Nevada.
Go find bones and shit.
Yeah, because I love dinosaurs. I was obsessed with dinosaurs. I love dinosaurs so much. I would pretend like I was a dinosaur all the time. I had every dinosaur tour you could possibly buy in Johannesburg.
Are they real? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Comedy style. That's a joke.
Are you saying, are dinosaurs real?
No, guys, I was joking. Clearly a joke. Clearly a YouTube joke. If you get it, you get it. Wow. Dinosaurs. Wow.
Yeah.
The only thing I remember about dinosaurs that was really cool to me is like, I think it was Jurassic Park 3 where like she was using like a toothbrush.
Yes.
To try to determine between like fossil and bone.
And they're like, they're going like at the eye hole. I think so. Yeah, yeah. They're finding a velociraptor skeleton as far as I remember. Yeah, that was so dope, dude. So that's what I wanted to do. That's all I wanted to do. And then I realized as I got older, when I got to like 12, I'd be like, it's like a lot of camping involved, a lot of long drives into the desert. Like, it doesn't sound like a good time. It actually sounds
dude. Shit. Wait, hold on. Can we talk about camping quickly?
Yeah, we can. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What? Dude, fuck, I hate this camping thing.
Camping is shit, dude.
Dude,
why?
So, thank you.
You're
the first white person to ever say that. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
But you know why we hate camping?
Why do we hate camping?
We hate camping because of Journey. That's why we hate camping.
We live camping.
Because we live camping for a month. For a month, we shat in bushes and walked and carried heavy bags. That's what we did for a whole month. When people say they go camping, they're like, hey guys, let's go for a hike. And they mean they want to walk like 3 kilometers over the space of 72 hours and they're staying like glamping. We camped. We did the great trick, actually. I'm pretty sure we did the great trick.
We were like, okay, guys, we're stopping right here and put your tents up.
Put your tents up, make a fire, try not to get eaten by a wild animal. That's
that's why we hate camping.
That's why we hate camping.
Because we
100%
camped.
Yeah. We camped.
Thanks, dude. Yeah, people are talking to me now because they're talking about camping on the beach. Yeah, we'll go with camp on the beach. It'll be a good time, Kanye. It'll be fucking sick, bro. We'll drive up for 5 hours.
Fucking sick, man.
Like, I was like, no, where is the accommodation? Don't talk to me about camping. What are you doing?
I want a solid roof.
Yeah. No, I actually want a place that's nicer than I would actually live in.
Yeah, I mean, that's anything fine.
Less than what I live in, like, level up. Like, come on.
I don't want that. No, thank you. I don't want
camping, dude. Oh, yeah, I've got some mates. They're talking about camping. I'm just like, no, no.
You know
how upset my mother will be to find out that I'm camping in Australian bush? She's like, you could have done that here. You went all the way there to
go camping. It's like, no, Kanye, yeah. What's happened? Are you okay? Why are you guys camping? What's wrong?
Yeah. And then people are like, oh, don't you want to be connected to nature? Like, just to not be consumed by, like, you know, all this consumer. And it's like, no, bro, I can, you know where I've been? You know where I come from? I can show you what that other world looks like.
It's not good.
Like, I'm well aware. Like, I'm so grounded in my materialism and consumerism. Like, I wish you understood.
I appreciate these walls every day.
Dude, I wish you knew. I wish you understood how much, like, just a good TV and fast internet is like.
Oh,
day made. My day is made.
Look up at the ceiling and just thank God for the ceiling every single day.
Yeah.
Just be like, oh, look at this. It's, yeah, it's made of hard materials.
I can close this door and not expect anyone to break it.
Oh, brilliant.
Like, and try to take everything from me. Like, that's the last thing I can expect. Bliss. Absolute bliss. I don't need to be in a bush. I don't need it.
No, thanks.
I'm good. I don't take anything for granted.
I'm humble.
I'm so humble. I'm utterly humble.
I mean, there's all of that. But also there's the thing about camping, which really upsets me, is that you always know when someone's going for a shit.
Dude.
Always, because you'd be sitting there and there's always, like, you know, there's the bathrooms in, like, the middle of the campsite, and you just see someone walking with toilet paper and you go, oh, that guy's about to take a shit. And you just know that, oh, that guy's gonna, and then he comes back and he goes, like, I don't know if there's soap in those bathrooms. It's okay, we don't have to shake hands. Yeah. Like, don't worry about it.
And also, like, let's not pretend like when you're camping for as long as we camped, like, you're having nice poops in the bush. Mm-mm. Like, it's just firm logs that just land. You put them away in the ditch. Like, come on.
No, we were drinking.
That shit's traumatic.
We were drinking dirty water for like 15 days.
Like, we were literally, it was just diarrhea all day.
All day, every day. That shit came out angry. It wasn't.
And it just burnt afterwards.
Yeah, why?
And you were just going to walk.
I haven't had spicy food in a month. Why is this burning? I'm just making
it. Yeah. Food. So I can't do this camping thing, bro. I'm just I don't need to be scented. I'm good.
I am
scented. Like, where I grew up, just on the drive to a mate's house, you get scented.
Yeah.
Like, you take a left turn and you'll be humbled.
Yeah, every day. Just reminded every day. No, fair enough. I think that's I don't need to go camping ever again.
Anyway, we need to wrap this up because my dog Mello is going to the door and staring at me like, yo, if you don't take me outside right now, I'm gonna piss on the carpet.
Okay, go take Mello for a piss. It was always lovely seeing your face, and I'll see you next week.
See you next week, guys.
Always a pleasure, never a chore. Yeah.
Cheers.
Oh, guys, we both on Clubhouse now, so please do follow us. We're still getting used to this app, but it seems like a lot of fun. And we like it.
If you can find us, though, because Clubhouse is invite only, low-key.
If you're on Clubhouse, if you're cool enough to be on Clubhouse, then hit us up.
We're at Flex, but okay, but just thought we'd let you know. Yeah, guys, get on Clubhouse. It's good fun. I think you should like the podcast.
Sweet.